This is Katie and Kay's local and regional news. I'm Marilyn Gleason. Former Colorado Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell died on Tuesday. Listen to Katie and Kay News tomorrow for a remembrance of the Democrat-turned-Republican who served in Congress for Colorado for almost two decades. Health officials in the Trump administration are moving to ban gender-affirming care for minors, even in states where it's still legal, such as New Mexico, California, and Colorado. The ban would prevent doctors who provide this treatment from receiving Medicaid reimbursement, as well as block federal funding for hospitals that provide pediatric gender-affirming care. The bill will have to go through a lengthy comment period before it goes into effect. Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser has joined several other state attorneys general to file a lawsuit against Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The attorneys argue that HHS doesn't have the authority to impose a universal standard for medical care. The public may comment on the bill through February 17th at federalregister.gov. Happy New Year! Several new laws go into effect today in Colorado, including one that aims to make it cheaper and easier for consumers to repair electronic equipment. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Benta Berkland has more.
The law is meant to give Coloradans more options to repair their busted cell phones and other electronic devices by making sure manufacturers provide documentation and information to get it fixed independently. Democratic Representative Brianna Titone was the bill's main sponsor, and she says it also applies to sales between businesses and with the government.
This will save companies a ton of money because companies will be able to hire their own in-house people if they want, or a third party, and they don't have to go have the expensive contract that the manufacturer requires.
Colorado's law is one of the most expansive in the country.
That was Benta Berkland for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Trump used his veto power this week to hit back at, well, Republican representatives and voters in Colorado. The veto on Tuesday upends a bill to fund the beleaguered Arkansas Valley Conduit, which would help supply clean water to southeastern Colorado, a poor and deep red corner of the state. The Finish the Arkansas Valley Conduit Act is perhaps the most impactful bill sponsored by Republican Representative Lauren Boebert during her time in Congress. It was co-sponsored by Western Slope Representative Jeff Hurd. The bill would have given local communities 100 years to pay back no-interest federal loans for their share of the project. Enough is enough, Trump said in a veto message to Congress, even though the bill would cost the federal government less than $500,000 for a major infrastructure project affecting 39 communities in southeast Colorado. The bill passed via voice vote in the House and unanimous consent in the Senate. Still, a veto override would require Republicans to defy their leader's will. Boebert questioned the president's motives for the veto, suggesting it might be retribution because she helped ensure a vote on releasing the Epstein files. I sincerely hope this veto has nothing to do with political retaliation for calling out corruption and demanding accountability, Boebert said. In Colorado, solar energy is transcending political lines. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KOTO's Mason Osgood shares how one man has taken solar energy into his own hands on some of the most desirable land in southwest Colorado.
It's a sunny summer day in Telluride. I'm at the Last Dollar Solar Garden, an 800-panel solar array sitting just above the Telluride Regional Airport. Facing south, the panels are tucked into a hillside, nearly invisible amongst the dramatic backdrop of Wilson Peak and the Telluride Box Canyon. On pastoral land formerly home to a sheep ranching operation, the Aldosaur Ranch is now subdivided into 35-acre home sites. It's a pretty unique place for 1.7 acres of a solar project. For Tim Erdman, this is his backyard. He purchased the parcel in 2010. We walk from his shop downhill towards the solar array. In 2019, I mean, this is zoned ag,
right,
or forestry. What was that process like?
12 years. Better part of 12 years since I started looking for land that would be appropriate for it. This was a piece of property that was close to the airport. And visually, it doesn't get impacted anymore, you know, then certainly the airport impacts the visuals. So it was a good spot, plus it's sort of hidden between two ridges, so you can't really see it from many places, and it just seemed like a good place.
Erdman casually calls this solar array just a demonstration, the product of his vision to show people what modern solar technology looks, feels, and sounds like.
So what you can hear now are the inverters. There's four inverters. There's 800 solar panels, and we're running about 300 volts per string. And then it gets transferred underground over to the transformer that takes the AC power. The inverters take it from DC to AC, goes AC into the grid. And
in 1973, Erdman was working at a cattle ranch in Basalt, Colorado, when the global oil crisis began. He says the owner of the ranch sold all the cattle and left him without a job.
So I went back to school and wrote my own major, which I called Strategies of Self-Reliance. The dean said, no, no, we can't have some nut majoring in self-reliance. So I called it Natural Energy Systems, and I was working with the different ways of looking at energy, from biomass to wind.
Moving to Telluride in the late 1970s, Erdman worked in architecture, designing projects like the original solar panel system on the Telluride High School, and founded his own energy company. The Last Solar Solar Garden went live in early 2020 and produces around a quarter of a megawatt, most of which goes to the San Miguel Power Association, the local utility company and partner on this project. Erdman says the solar power is sold in shares and then deducted from subscribers' monthly utility bills. His largest customer is just down the hill, the Telluride Airport.
Basically sold the airport their subscription. They wanted to have solar powering the airport, but they didn't really want to have it on their buildings, and they didn't want to do the maintenance that if it were on their property. So this worked out really well for them, and they're my best customer.
The rest of the shares went mostly to local nonprofits.
But what I did was I just donated most of the shares to the local nonprofits. So the radio has some. If you look on their electric, you'll see the solar offset that they get from the amount of panels that they were allowed to subscribe to. And then I've also the library, the medical center, the Elks, different nonprofits, Mountain Film, all have shares or subscriptions to the solar garden. So it really is a community solar garden.
The panel's inverter fans spin on and off as clouds cast shadows.
It changes very quickly. There it goes off. Now it's still generating, but it doesn't need to cool the inverters when there's less power.
Erdman says maintenance is no big deal, and the panels produce more animal habitat than before with all the shade. For weed mitigation, he says they welcome a few hundred sheep every year to graze. For permitting, Erdman had to go through San Miguel County. He says there was only a bit of pushback.
So it's not a problem, but people don't know about it. I mean, it's new. And so you can't blame people for being cautious and worrying about change. It's human nature. I don't look at as a us versus them. I look at it as we're all in this together. We've got to figure out some things that help mitigate the problems that we've created. And this is one of the possibilities. I'm not saying it's the be-all to end-all, but it definitely does help. This puts a little bit of power. It takes a little bit off the need for coal or natural gas.
While there are several solar microgrid systems on San Miguel County buildings, this community solar array remains the only system of its kind on private land in the whole county. The series has explored the hurdles to solar energy in Western Colorado, from funding, policy, and community values. From the boom of federal funding under President Biden and strong state support in the Colorado legislature, the windows of opportunity were wide open for solar. That was only half the story, though, as rural counties and communities grappled with land use codes, NIMBYism, and politics. Communities continue to find solutions to a resilient energy future in Colorado and how solar may or may not fit into that future. There is no one-size-fits-all solution, and whether it's an 80-megawatt solar project in Delta or a small array above the Telluride Airport, as Erdman says, it's the responsible thing to do. For KOTO Radio, I'm Mason Osgood.
This series on solar energy from KOTO was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including KDNK. This is KDNK News.